I heard a pastor once say that Christians are getting too used to not hearing long sermons anymore. They're used to sermonettes, and that turns them into Christianettes. And I thought, how condescending is that? Sometimes, you know, a 40-minute sermon or 40-minute message is just fine as long as you're teaching about Jesus. So, all right. Well, thank you, Mike, for giving me the space to be able to do this today. I got to get my laptop open here. Today's message is not going to be a typical sermon. Not that I would ever prefer to do a message like this, but in a lot of ways, the message today is going to be about me. But as we go through this, I hope that you see that it's not just about me, it's about how the Lord has worked through me and how the Lord is working within me now as well. Before I'll conclude and I'll talk about, you know, my views on ministry and how really the word, who is the Lord, needs to work through all of us. So today I'm going to talk a lot about my background, so the congregation knows exactly who I am. You'll get to see my experience, go through a little bit of my education, and that way everybody's just as informed as they can possibly be about who is this guy that we're going to be voting on. And after service today, I'm open for any questions. I am an open book. So if you have questions about me, theological questions, you have questions about church, you have wonderful ideas, because people have been coming to me with so many ideas recently, and I'm like, that's a great idea. I'll talk to you about it in maybe a few months. But I want to share just a little bit about my background, and really the design is so that you get to know me, my testimony, and get to hear just who I am and who the potential next head pastor of the church may be. I know that Mike already prayed, but will you pray with me one more time to calm my nerves, because teaching from the Bible is one thing, but when you're teaching church and you're teaching a little bit about yourself, it's a little nerve-wracking. So please join me in prayer. Father, you are good, and as I teach up here and teach our sweet church this morning and share about myself, I pray that the message will not be about me, and I will not be the center of attention, Lord, but your work through me, your power, Christ, within me, in your spirit that has gone before me and my family. Pray you be with me today, be with our congregation, as we join together and get to know each other just a little bit more. In Jesus, your name, amen. So I'm going to start off with letting you know, I'm titling today's little message, The Ongoing Journey, Becoming Mature in Christ, because this is my journey in life, is what does it mean to be mature in Christ? And I brought my Bible with me today to give you a little bit of an illustration of this is kind of how I look at my life. There was something that happened with my Bible a number of years ago. It was about 2003, 2004. I was working at one of the camps up here. I was working at Alpine Camp and Conference Center. And at Alpine, what we did is that we brought groups in and we took them on the ropes course. Who's been on the Alpine ropes course before? Yeah. Anybody do the Centurion? The 100-foot? David has. It's 100-foot. Climb up a tree and you walk off a platform and you jump off and you try to grab onto a trapeze. Most kids don't do it, and then they fall like 50 feet and a rope catches them and they're safe. So that's what some of the things you do at camp. Anyway, so I worked out on that ropes course doing all the knots and the ropes and everything. But one of the things that we do is that we would do devotionals. So we'd do devotionals with the youth groups, with the corporate groups that we brought in, and we'd talk them through what the Bible says. And I was doing that even as a teenager. I had not really any kind of idea of what I was really doing, or just following instruction. But anyway, I did that at Alpine, and as I did that, I brought my Bible with me, of course, because this is my Bible. It's been really precious to me ever since I was in junior high. It was given to me by my aunt and uncle. And I was out on the ropes course doing that, and one day my Bible went missing. And I just, anybody have a favorite Bible you own? It's like a family heritage Bible. It has all your notes in it, you know, all the things, all your concerns, all your worries. It's just all marked up. That's this Bible right here. And I just missed it so much. Well, the crazy thing was, after I went through a few journeys in life, the Lord brought me back to Alpine as the program director there, the youth program director. One day I was sitting in the dining room. Somebody walked in and went, "Is this yours?" And I was like, "Where did you get that?" And they said, "It's been out in the rope shed for like 5 years. We've been using it for devotionals." So the Lord brought his word back to me, which is great. And so this kind of boomerang effect is going to coat my entire message today, because this is very much my history up here on the mountain and my heart. So I'm going to talk about my journey, and then we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So I'm going to begin for you to get to know me. I'm going to start from my childhood. I lived in Twin Peaks when I was a kid. Some of us knew me. The Dufours knew me when I was a kid. Jolie knew me when I was a kid. There may be other members within the congregation that I think Tony and Jody knew me when I was a little tiny baby. I grew up as a young kid in the mountains here, and more specifically, my earliest years were in Twin Peaks. My earliest memories with my family was of deep family hardship and struggle. I grew up in a completely broken home. It was broken home, impoverished home, just hard. It was just really hard. So sometimes when I'm up here and I get all teary-eyed, know that I'm standing in my childhood community feeling and reliving a lot of stuff, looking at people who were there for me when I was a kid, okay? So I'm going to work on controlling some of those emotions today. But it was hard. It was a lot of family hardship. So hard. Anybody ever remember a fellowship up here called LACF? Yeah? Yeah, there's some like kind of comments and grins. The local charismatic church that was up on the mountain. A lot of strange things coming out of that church. I actually remember that church when I was about 5 or 6 years old. But here's one of the things, is that the congregation of that church, I remember at my house one morning, we woke up. My family didn't have a lot of money, but one of my favorite childhood memories was walking downstairs and there were Christmas presents everywhere because we were the family that didn't have anything, but the congregation came together and they wanted to make sure that the Trask kids had presents for Christmas. And so from the earliest years, my family went shopping at the Operation Provider that was over there. I think it's still there now, but there used to be a food bank. We would actually go shopping there. And I remember going through and getting fruit snacks, things like that, just special things. So that was my family when I was a young kid. The earliest memories were all of hardship. Ages 7 to 13 were filled with a lot of family feuds, family fighting, court battles, back and forth, a lot of tension in the family, custody battle between my mother and my father. And I kind of jokingly say that I probably could have taken you on a walking tour of the San Bernardino courthouse, at least into the family court department. I spent time with counselors. I spent time with lawyers. I spent time, it's like, what do you do with a kid that young? Like, What that guy doesn't have, you know, what are you going to do? Don't take your kids to court. Don't grow up in the court. That was my earliest childhood years, was all like that. As time moved on, the family fighting seemed to kind of subside as everybody went their different directions and their new ways. And I ended up living with my father, who then got remarried, and the family that I entered into also had a similar, pretty devastating background as my background growing up. And so entered in 4 brand new siblings who had their own traumas and dramas from the past when I was 14. Not necessarily a great idea, okay? But when I was 14, that happened. That left me in a place where I had felt the darkness. I had felt the weight of life. I was not a rebellious teenager by any means. I wasn't sneaking out, doing drugs, doing alcohol, anything like that, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that evil existed, and I had walked through it and I had seen it personally. So when I went to summer camp when I was 15 up at Hume Lake, I went with Church of the Woods. I dedicated my life to the Lord because the message was shared to me in a way that just made sense. And if you've been in ministry for a while, you know, you could take kids to youth group 52 times a year, and you can share the gospel, share the gospel, share the gospel, but there's just something about going to camp you know, where it just highlights and becomes more vibrant and it becomes more vibrant. And so that happened to me up at Hume Lake as I committed my life to the Lord. And then after that, I spent most of my time at church. I didn't want to go back home. There was this new family, people I didn't really understand. I was really confused and kind of messed up on the inside. But church was a safe place. Church was a fun place. And that was the Community Baptist Church over in Lake Arrowhead with Dan and Carly Russell, who some people actually know them. They're Alan and Gail. You guys know Alan and Gail? Yeah, you know them. That's their parents. Dan discipled me. He was going to Masters, and I was going to Calvary Chapel Bible College. And so that was a fun conversation that we had with each other. So I spent a lot of my time at church during, you know, 4 days a week we were there. And this was before students. This was before any smartphones existed. So our youth group at one point had like 300 kids there. But that's because there was no, that was the social media. That was the place we went to socialize. And so it was a great time. I found a great group of friends and got connected, and they really helped strengthen me. Of those friends, Sarah Johnson, who's now Sarah, or was Sarah Newman, was one of our, in our little group of friends, and we loved the Lord and went on missions trips together and did all that stuff. So my teenage years were great, but they were great because the Lord was there. I ended up working at most, like Mike had said, I had worked at a lot of the mountain camps. I worked at Camp Cedar Crest up in Green Valley Lake, which is a four square denomination church. I worked a little bit at the Calvary camp that was up there. Like I mentioned, I worked also at Alpine Camp and Conference Center. We live in an incredible environment for our teenagers up here. There are a lot of wonderful Christian organizations for them to get involved in and get connected with, along with the mountain churches. I'm a product of that. You know, when I didn't have a family, it was my mountain community, it was the mountain Christians and all the diversity that existed out there that I really bounced from one place to another, but the name of Jesus always rang clear. So, and I built a lot of friendships. Oop. So my young adult years, like I mentioned, I went to Calvary Chapel Bible College after I graduated from RIM. I took a youth ministry internship position at Community Baptist Church, and I did junior high youth ministry. And I remember Dan telling me that if you want to be in ministry, then you have to start in junior high ministry because it is the most thankless job that there is. It is difficult. It is hard. They have no idea what they're talking about. You know, it's hard. So you got to do this. So he gave me the opportunity to oversee the junior high youth ministry. Again, took kids to camp, spent time with them, and just kind of learned how to shepherd. But in the middle of this whole process, still hits me, I lost my dad. And I lost him at 18. And you can imagine, up to this point in my life, it had already been pretty chaotic and confusing. But the church was really an anchor for me. It was where I found strength. It was where I found family. It was where I found truth. I found what was real. I found where I could place my feet. And so when I lost my dad at 18, that really became important to me because I didn't really have anywhere else to put my feet. Actually, soon after that, I was pretty much just on my own. My dad was the secure, stable one in my life, and he was gone. And new family ended up moving away to Texas, and we didn't really have a good relationship with each other anyway. And so I was it. I was on my own. I'm 18. So what do? You move to the beach, and you move into a trailer. That's what you do. When I moved down to the beach, because I was still trying to figure out life and finances and everything, I remember being with my wife, or she wasn't my wife at the time. My girlfriend, Sarah, that I had met at Bible college. And I was working these jobs, but I became overdrawn in my bank account just by like a few dollars. Because when you're young, you just like, you don't pay attention. You just keep using your card. And at the time, the banks were allowed to just continue to deduct money from you over and over and over again. So I was a little withdrawn. And I moved down to the beach and I went to go check my bank account. I had been withdrawn for about 7 or 8 days. And I think they have some new laws on it than what they had before. And I had received one of my last paychecks, which was going to be the way that I was going to eat and I was going to survive until I could find a job somewhere down at the beach living in this trailer. That was my plan for life. Move to the beach and we'll figure the rest out. I went to my bank account. I found out I was like $160 overdrawn, and my paycheck was like for $164. So I had $4 to my name, living in a trailer down by the beach, and one of my most exciting moments, God's provision, was that Del Taco's Dan's deal came up, if you remember it. And you got four burritos and four tacos for $4. And I thought, I could use my $4 and I can feed myself for at least 5 or 6 days until I find a job. So I found a job, and it was literally right outside my trailer, and I worked at the Waterfront Hilton Hotel in Huntington Beach. Have you guys seen it? It's the tall one that's there. I did graveyard security because it's the one job that was open. And so I did graveyard security. Sarah lent me some money so I could go buy a suit, and I wore one suit to work, and I did that job, and I built up some money and I saved some money and eventually moved forward in life. So as a young adult, that was my journey. Young adults, life is hard, okay? Go out, do the hard things, have an adventure. If you make some mistakes, just continue to make wise decisions. If you have a roof over your head or you have parents that are around you, give them a hug after church today and say, thank you so much for all that you give me, for all that you have provided for me. Because if you're ever in a situation where they're not there, trust me, it's hard. Living in Huntington Beach in a trailer with, you know, about 33 degree weather at night because it did get cold, with trailer with no heat, just being alone, it was a real difficult spot to be. But it definitely drew my heart to the Lord. So those were my young adult years, and luckily, those were really shortly lived because I didn't want to stay in that position for very long. Eventually, me and Sarah saved up some money. We got married. We moved back to the mountains because Orange County, I don't know if you know this, is extremely expensive to live in, and the mountains are a little bit easier to figure out how you're going to kind of make it in life. So we got married, and I had this idea. I was going for ministry, but I wanted to make some money. And I had a bunch of friends who were getting into the fire department at Crafton Hills. And so we came back up. I got enrolled in all the EMT courses, all the fire tech courses, and I went to the Crafton Hills Fire Academy and then ended up spending the next 4 years working and training to become a firefighter on the mountain. So I did my training at Crafton Hills College, volunteered at the Arrow Bear Fire Department, and then transferred over to the Running Springs Fire Department. And those were incredible experiences. When I go back to the fire department, and I tell a lot of guys this in ministry, is that the fire department prepared me for ministry in a way that church or seminary never could, because there's really very few jobs where you walk into somebody's crisis situation within their house where they're just in the worst of the worst position, and you're the one there that has to try to put them back together. Now, if that isn't an illustration or a metaphor for ministry, I don't know what is, right? So the Lord took me through that. He taught me discipline through that. He helped me build some friendships through that. He gave me a mind for organizing things and managing things. And I got a lot of that from the fire department. As a result of that, I had a friend who was also working at Alpine Camp and Conference Center. And they said, hey, you're a guy who knows your Bible, loves Jesus, loves kids. You seem relatively organized and disciplined. We're looking for somebody to pick up this youth ministry program because it's not doing really good right now. So I was about 23 years old at that point, and I applied to be the youth program director at Alpine with the idea that I'm just going to save up enough money to enter into the paramedic program, and then I'm going to be gone. This is a short-term gig. So I entered in, I got the job, and at the same time, Dan came to me, who he was also in between churches, and he was doing the youth ministry down at Crestline First Baptist, and he said, hey, they need a youth ministry minister down here. Would you be willing to do it? And of course, because I was in my Superman young man years of, hey, I could do the fire department, I could do a full-time camp job, and I could be a youth pastor, because that's what I'm going to do in life. And you learned I had no boundaries, and we just did it all. And that was a very hard, but it was a good formative about 3 years of ministry. And you know what was really cool about that coming back up to this church is when I came back up to this church, Nick and Josh Lejeure, they were in the Sunday school when I was down there, and I got to be their Sunday school teacher and watch them down at that church, right? And so it was really fun walking back into this church and being like, hey, Nick, what you doing here? You're way bigger than what you were before. They're a bunch of, yeah, little rascals, literally. So those were the beginning. There's a couple pictures. I do have pictures to share. That's young Jonathan and Sarah graduating from the fire department, doing all the cool fire stuff. And there's us with little Aurora. By the way, a week before I entered into the fire academy, Aurora was born. So everybody give Sarah a round of applause. Man, did we not know what we were doing. So anyway, and so what had happened with the fire department is as time went on, I realized, you know, God had a calling on my life. And the calling was not to be a firefighter. You know, if you were to, I've made a really good friend with Travis Newman. And if you were to put me and Travis Newman stand, you know, each other, like next to each other, I'd be like, Travis is a firefighter, right? He's mechanical. He knows how a car works. He's an engineer. You know, I was actually in the fire department. I was more drawn to the trauma or the emotional issue that people were going through. And so when we'd show up on scene and we had some issues, the guys would actually send me over to talk with people because I kind of had that skill set or that ability to kind of work with them on scene and just be like, how are you doing? Can I help you in any kind of way? And so the Lord revealed to me that, you know, he didn't really design me to be a firefighter, but he did use it to give me some skills and some training. So I eventually stepped away from firefighting and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Full time, I want you to be in youth ministry. And I had absolutely loved camp ministry. It was creative. It was fun. It really fit who I was. So I planned and managed ministry programs. That was women's ministry programs, mother and daughter retreats. And when I was like 24, 25 years old, for some reason, the director said, Jonathan, you need to manage mother and daughter retreats. And I said, Joel, you're ridiculous. I have no business doing this. It was very hard, but it was very stretching. I worked extremely hard. As Jacob mentioned to me this week, he worked 80 hours this last week. And that's pretty typical for people who work in camp. Those that work in camp full time, it really kind of is like a missionary position where it's like you're living on site, you're ministering to people, you're eating there, and it's your life is just dedicated to the work of that ministry. It's hard. It's a very, you're keeping up a whole microcosm of an economy, from a kitchen to water systems to housing and cleaning, ministry, marketing, everything. So I received some professional training at Alpine, which was great. Joel Rood, who was my director, had a degree in biblical studies, but he also had a minor in psychology. And so I took a ridiculous amount of personality test for him to try to figure out who am I working with and to help me along. But he was a wonderful director that helped challenge me. And I was really challenged on my convictions because Alpine was, I'm not sure if it currently is, but it's part of the Evangelical Covenant Church, which is very different from my Baptist and Calvary Chapel background. The Evangelical Covenant Church is very much focused on being very impactful. They'd say they're very focused on social justice and multicultural approaches to church, which was very challenging for me. I learned so much from my time with that denomination and that group. And at the same time, I also became more confirmed on some of my convictions because I saw where the gospel was and I saw where the gospel wasn't. And so some of my pictures from Alpine, we did a bunch of children's programs. That's us up there in the corner. I got to work with a lot of professional children's ministers who did big programs. There's Sarah with one of our former employees named Roger, who's still a good friend of mine. We worked with Roger for a number of years, got to see him grow, develop, and disciple him. That's us at a marketing conference. I went to more conferences. I'm burnt out of conferences. Our kids program, teaching kids about Jesus in the forest is what we did. And then that last picture you see, I just look at it, I was like, that's the picture of my wife right there. And I love her so much because that's how I feel like our life is like, I'm running. And she's just like, I'm here to help. And so, that was camp. And this was another highlight of that camp. Like I said, they were very focused on kind of a multicultural approach to church. What I did gain from my time at Alpine is that we did spend a lot of time getting to know other people from different groups from around the world. We did a tour, it's called Journey to Mosaic, where it was kind of an intensive week-long tour. We went down to LA, we traveled around Skid Row, and worked and talked with some of the mission organizations down there, got together and got to talk about different backgrounds, like how does the gospel impact your culture and how does it impact your culture? We had people from Russia, we had people from, you know, LA, we had people from the mountains, and we just got together and we got to talk about the sweet love of Jesus and how it's so different in different cultures. And so Alpine really introduced me to that, which was just so helpful, and it was challenging, but it was really stretching for me. Well, after a number of years at Alpine, I then went over to Thousand Pines, which I planned and managed ministry programs. And my primary responsibility is just making sure that the programs were spiritually grounded. It's one thing to run a camp program. It's one thing to give activities and bring in speakers. It's another thing to make sure that the gospel stays at the center of what you're doing. You don't get distracted by just all the fun stuff. I worked in a much more professional or dynamic environment, Thousand Pines, and now Trademark Camping's a little bit more of a dynamic ministry environment, and I received even more professional ministry training, a lot of how to manage people, how to deal with difficult people, but because of all of this, home life was a struggle. It was probably the hardest years in me and Sarah's marriage was these 3 years because we had two kids, and it just took all my time. And so as a result of that, we started to pray and say, God, what do you have next for us? We've been doing this camp ministry stuff for about 10 years, and we're feeling kind of burnt out. So anyway, we redid the children's program. We did stage designs, and just, again, got to teach people about the sweet, simple love of Jesus and the truth of the gospel. Well, like I said, we were praying about what would we do next, and I had developed a good friendship with somebody from Huntington Beach. His name is Jeff Wilson. He's now the senior pastor at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. He went to Talbot Seminary. Me and him became very good friends over the years at camp. He actually followed me from Alpine to Thousand Pines because our friendship was so good. And he invited me one year. He said, Jonathan, do you want to come down? We need a connections pastor. Connections pastor is somebody to relate and connect with people and make sure they're getting plugged into small groups and they're growing with Jesus. And I said, no, Jeff, I think I'm good. I don't think I'm a connections pastor. Well, and he came back to me a year later and said, hey, we need a children's ministry director. Think you'd be interested in that? And I said, no way. I'm going to be a camp director. Children's ministry is like way down here. I want to be the big guy up on top. But I prayed about it, and I stopped looking at the title, and I started looking at, well, what is it? Well, it's management of a large group of people. It's high-level creativity. It's a pretty big budget that they had. I could spend time with my kids and my family, and it was like the Lord had opened up the doors exactly what we were praying for, and so we stepped into that. So we stepped into doing children's ministry programs. I started drawing a lot of cartoons. I became then, after a couple of years there, I became the family pastor. And so, back up for a second, when we went down there, this was one of the things that I took on. I stepped into a ministry that had a pretty robust children's ministry program that had been developed and designed and put together by a bunch of people for about 17 years. And it was pretty specific, and I was the disruptor. I was the guy coming in actually at the request of this senior leadership to say we need to update it and we need a disruptor. It's not fun being in that spot. You know, there's a lot of people that are really emotionally attached to the way things had been going, but we were asking some deeper questions, and so I was tasked with kind of being a disruptor and to go in there and not intentionally disrupt things, just ask questions. Are we really teaching people about Jesus? Are we helping build disciples? After a couple of years of doing that and weathering that storm and coming out of that really well, they then made me the family pastor. And the family pastor was the one who didn't just oversee the children's ministry, but I oversaw everything from infant through young adults. And so there was a group of about seven pastors, and my job was to make sure that all of our ministries weren't just doing all their own things. We were doing one program that was to make disciples for Jesus appropriately at each age level. And so I became the family pastor. Through this process, I opened up some deep wounds that I hadn't dealt with that go back all the way to Twin Peaks. I developed also at the same time a deep awareness of spiritual realities. Now, if you come out of a Baptist background, and sometimes in the Calvary background a little bit as well, when we talk about spiritual things, people get a little scared. They say, wait a minute, we're going to get into a weird space here. We're going to start talking about a lot of things that I don't really understand. Let's just go to church. Let's read our Bible, and let's keep it simple as that. And I was very much kind of in that camp. Just teach the Bible and we'll let God do the rest. Well, when I started getting children's ministry, God started to really spiritually open my eyes more than they had ever been opened before. And I became more aware of the fact that we don't fight a denominational battle. We fight a spiritual battle. And the power against that battle is the name of Jesus. And it's the right thinking about the gospel message and about who he is. And so it's a road that I started to walk down, and it was pretty powerful. But I walked away from this season here without a doubt in my mind that there is a lot more going on in this world than just typical church happenings. You know, we fight a battle against principalities, powers, against rulers of the air, and we fight that with the truth of the knowledge of Christ. So I received a lot of pastoral training here at Refuge. I got trained with Operation Mobilization, a missionary organization, along with the pastors that are there. We had weekly trainings and meetings because we were a ministry. In the fire department, if you're working at a fire station that was running all the time, and it was like, that's a hot department. They're running all the time. Refuge was a hot ministry. It was open 7 days a week, morning and night. We were working with homeless. We were working with pregnant moms. We were working with families. We had so many ministries. And by the way, we have some friends who came up from Refuge today. I just met them in the back, so they know what Refuge is like. It's right there in the middle of the city. And middle of the city, man, it is going all the time doing ministry. Doors are always open. So that was my children's ministry team. If you look at the screen there, me being a little coming from the mountains down to a factory, Burlington Warehouse Coat Factory, I was trying to teach a group of people, adults and just wonderful people, the basics of water plus trees equal fruit. That was what I was just trying to teach. So we just need to give the purity of God's word simply to the kids so that they produce the fruit. And you can see there's a Bible timeline on the wall. And so this is me working with our children's ministry team, training us on how are we going to affect the 350 kids that we saw every Sunday morning with the truth of the gospel and make sure that we're specific and we're really hitting what we're supposed to hit. So we took that little factory right there. That was me beginning some work. And so I just brought the mountains down to the beach. And I miss the mountains so much, I said, hey, let's just put them in here. These kids need nature. They're walking on asphalt and concrete. They need the place that I grew up in. And so we redesigned the children's ministry and we made it soft and we made it calming when it used to be a little more obnoxious and bright. I also like to work with real props with the kids. I had a pretty good budget. So we bought the real Roman swords and the real Roman helmets and built all the real stuff because, you know, kids, you gotta know that this is real. It's not just not black ink on white paper. This stuff is real. So what's a sword sound like against the shield? And so we had a really great time there. Again, I became the family pastor. We did massive outreaches. This is one of what we call it our block party outreach on October 31st. Thousands of people would come to that. And so I got to oversee that because it was family and children's oriented. But this was my heart. This is Jeremiah and his family here. This became my heart after all my time in ministry. This is where it's at. Mom and dad sitting with their children, teaching them the Bible. I had been a youth pastor. I had been a youth program camp director. I had done a lot of things in ministry. But there is nothing more powerful than this right here, an engaged mom and dad sitting with their kids and teaching them the Bible. That you could be the most eloquent pastor on this planet. You could have all the fancy words. You can know all the doctrines that you need to know. But nothing is going to replace God's design, which he starts in Deuteronomy 6. And that's about mothers and fathers, teach your children what I say. When you wake up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you walk along the way. And so that became my passion. And that became my passion, not just because I saw the effect of it, but because of my own kids. And it's like, I wanted to be my children's pastor. And so that became my passion at Refuge, which is why I was the family pastor. we got to say goodbye to a lot of our wonderful workers. It was a wonderful time at Refuge because we got a phone call right when we were going through this season from our friend and John, and then Pastor Mike. I got to meet with him, and we were going through a season. This was after COVID, which was pretty hard, and we were looking about the future for us. The ministry had been built. The foundations had been set. There were a number of ministers that were around, and we had built a family ministry program, which they still hold to today. They are still doing the family ministries at Refuge, and we still have a really good relationship with the pastoral staff down there. And we were just feeling that knock on our heart that it's time for us to go home and heal. Yeah. So when we got the call to come back up here, I told John, I said, I don't want to do that. It's a small church. I'm at a big church. Why would I go to a small church? But God revealed it to us in an unbelievably supernatural way that this is where we were supposed to be. And so we packed up. We got really excited, moved back into our home up in the mountains, and came back to Twin Peaks Community Church. So this is what I learned about myself all through my time in ministry. You guys take personality tests? I am sick of personality tests, but I definitely know myself. the DISC assessment, I am a director influencer, which means I want to be your best friend and tell you what to do. Okay. My learning styles, I'm a theorist and a pragmatist. I'm the chalkboard guy. I'm the theory guy. So I like theology. I like theological conversations. However, I'm also a pragmatist. Powerful ministry is practical ministry. Doing practical things for people is powerful because we have to meet people where they're at. We can't live in our theoretical bubbles. You know, so I'm a theorist and a pragmatist. Myers-Briggs, I'm an ENTJ. Enneagram, and I'm an 8-6, whatever that means. This is the one that I like the most because I think it's the most relatable. The Smalley's personality test, I'm a lion otter. So I'm a hey, let's get it done. But really, at the end of the day, I just want to get it done so we can experience the joy of the Lord together. I think that's why I like VBS so much. As the spiritual indicators test, discernment, knowledge, teaching, and then strength finders. I'm a futurist. I have a lot of ideas. I love communicating clearly, strategy, and I'm deeply tied to my convictions. And so that's what I learned in my time of ministry as to who I am. Going on, now we're back at Twin Peaks. So this is 4 years ago, like Mike said. I came in to support Pastor Mike. Crazy thing was, Calvary Chapel Bible College moved right next door, which was a miracle. Got reconnected to Calvary Bible College, got reconnected to Alpine and Thousand Pines, got to speak a couple times for their staff and also for a couple of their children's camps. And then after I got reconnected to the Bible College, I got connected into SCS, and that's Southern California Seminary. That's Dr. David Jeremiah Seminary. We've built some good friendships, and we've done some deep reflecting and healing over the last couple of years of God reopening some doors and saying, okay, we're going to bring this full circle. These are some of the kids and adventures we've been on, taking kids to the beach. You guys remember Snowmageddon a few years ago? That was when we connected with some people at Calvary Chino Hills, and we got a bunch of fire departments up here to help out. We just went to summer camp with a lot of kids and doing VBS. You know, we've had a wonderful last 4 years. There's these pictures and countless others that at some point we'd love to go through because there's so many things that have happened at this church over the last 4 years that not everybody gets to see. Okay, so what's next for me? I finished seminary October 15th. Woohoo! Yeah. I can tell you, as a creative, seminary is not fun. There's no room for creativity in seminary. I figured that out with my first paper that I wrote. They are very different thinkers. Very, very different. But I do know that through this process in seminary, I have taken my seminary classes have pretty much been divided into two. One is just kind of theological interpretation, a whole view of how to interpret the Bible rightly. And then secondly, I geared all my electives towards counseling because with my camp background, my personal history, and also my passion to help people, I definitely feel the calling to step in to the counseling side of pastoring along with teaching. So I'll continue in the counseling program after I'm done, but probably at a much slower pace. I'm going to continue to work on my children's and family program. That's what we do for VBS, and probably hear about that more in a few weeks after VBS. God has used that to radically shape me internally. And I'm going to continue to pastor. My calling in life is to shepherd. I have been a pastor, program camp director, father. I've been a shepherd in my life because it's who the Lord has been to me. He's been my shepherd, and so I just shepherd other people. To what capacity am I going to shepherd? That's up to the Lord, but I'm going to shepherd and I'm going to pastor. It's just what I do. And I'm just going to grow closer to Jesus by walking in the full truth of his Spirit. Amen? And hopefully that's true for you guys as well. All right. So to the message, and I'll try to conclude this because we always need to preach the Word of God when we come to the pulpit here. And so when we ask the question, what is this ministry about? What is ministry? Well, it's helping each other grow. It's helping each other grow to be more like Jesus every single day. He is our goal. He is the one that we're trying to be like, right? And so in Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes this, that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. God gives us, not me, us. Everybody say us. Say we. Okay, God gives us many gifts and abilities so that we can serve one another. Not everybody's gift is the same gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul also highlights this, and he says there's many gifts. There's gifts of hospitality. There's gifts of administration. There's gifts of teaching. There are many different gifts that are out there that we are to use to spur each other forward and to help each other grow more into the likeness of Christ. It's not just about the pastor. Okay. Then it says this, until we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, keep this, the knowledge of the Son of God, which who's the Son of God? Unity of faith and knowledge of Jesus. Unity of faith and knowledge of Jesus to mature to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's clear. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And that's what I love about our church. When I came up here, it said that we are a Christ-centered church. That's the point of it all, is that Christ is at the center of all we do. Now, I have a Calvary Chapel background, but I am not of Chuck Smith, okay? I have worked at Baptist churches, and I have Baptist friends, but I'm not of John MacArthur. I love theology, but I'm not of R.C. Sproul or of John Piper, okay, or any other pastor or theologian. I am of Christ. I am of Christ. I am about Jesus being my focus. And so I look to him first before anything else. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we want to become mature so that we are no longer children being tossed to and fro by the winds and waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, craftiness, or deceitful schemes. Now, being in seminary, I do theological studies. I study theology, but it's really important that we understand sometimes when we get very deep into our theological studies, they go off on a track into man's philosophy. And they go away from the pure, simple teaching of the Word. Take this into consideration. If you were to consider all denominations out there and their sub-denominations, it's estimated that there are as many as 40,000 different Protestant groups of all the denominations and all the sub-denominations, right? This is part of the reason why non-denominational groups have grown and risen over the years. Our church is a non-denominational church. People are hungry for the simple truth of Jesus. The simple truth of Jesus. You can speculate, we can hypothesize, we can philosophize, we can think deeply, but ultimately at the end of the day, if it doesn't come back to the love of Christ being poured into your heart from the Spirit out through your hands to your neighbor, it's pointless, right? 1 Corinthians 3, 4, and 6 says this, For when one says, I follow Paul, and the other says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God has been making it grow. And Paul just further states, it is not about identifying ourselves by any one man or person. It's about the name of Jesus Christ being at the center of who we are. Amen, right? Amen, amen. All right. Ephesians 4:15. So, how do we become more like Christ? Rather, speaking truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We must become good at speaking truth in love. Both are essential. We must be honest, we must be practical, and we must be willing to hear truth in our life. I thank God so much that, one, I can stand before you today in just a miraculous way thinking, hey, I'm going to graduate seminary soon. And I've had a wonderful life where I've been able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with so many people. I have so many friendships. I have people that I can call on in a heartbeat if I need anything. And that all, because it comes from Jesus being at the center of it all. But all of those people were there to speak truth into my life when I had nobody else to do that. Do you have people that speak truth into your life? They're willing to be honest with you, to call you out on things that, you know, maybe are not of the Lord. It's only because the many people who are filled with the Spirit of God who have spoken truth into my life, am I even close to being somewhat of a healthy individual today, okay? It wasn't always easy to hear, but they loved me enough to say it. And so I just, I encourage you that find people who will speak truth into your life. I love truth being spoken into my life so much, I even pay for it now. Isn't that awesome? You guys pay for it? I have a counselor. I have a Christian counselor that I call, because in ministry, when you go through spiritual battles and your mind is twisted, you need trained people who are on the outside that can help you navigate. So I actually pay a counselor, and it's okay for pastors to get counseling. They need counseling all the time. We're crazier than everybody else. So truth is important. Okay, lastly here, Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together in every joint in which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Back when I was doing my fire department training, they told us, you can't run into a situation to help others unless you are personally safe and you are equipped yourself. Like I said, the metaphor, the illustration of the fire department really helped me do that. That's who we need to be. If we want to impact our mountain, continue the impact that we have on our mountain with the light of Jesus Christ, we need to make sure that we are equipped. And we do that through community with one another. It's not about Twin Peaks community being a great church on the mountain. It's about the name of Jesus Christ being lifted above all other names, right? And if our church is known for anything, it's for lifting the name of Jesus Christ up. In any church that lifts Jesus Christ's name up, we are brothers and sisters with them. So, because as one of my seminary professors mentioned, and he said, where is Jesus today? Where is he at? Where is Jesus' physical body today? Look around. Here. We are. We are called to be the body of Jesus Christ. That his hand, we are his hands and feet. He works through us into the impact of our community. That work first starts internally, and then it works its way out externally. A life with Christ is beautiful. You want to follow Christ, you want to go deeper in your walk with Christ, I will guarantee you that there is unbelievable beauty on the other side as you go deeper. But often before you see that beauty for the fullness of what it is, you have to be willing to walk through the darkness in your own life. You have to be willing to walk through the hardships. Okay, and that means you have to be willing to expose those things, and that is difficult. So let me ask you, this was my ongoing journey, being a part of the body of Christ, because we are the body of Christ. This was my ongoing journey. I'm one of hundreds of thousands of pastors that are out there, and just one of millions and billions of Christians over the years. But I know that I'm on a journey. I've been on a journey for a number of years, and my journey hasn't stopped. My journey is going to go forward. I have not made it. I will not make it the day that I graduate seminary. I'm not going to make it the day that maybe we baptize 50 people. I'm not going to make it when I get a plaque. I'm not going to make it. I'll never make it. Not on this side of heaven. I'm going to continue the journey to go deeper with Jesus. Are you on a journey? Do you recognize that you are on a journey yourself? That this next season for our church, as we go forward, is going to be a journey for all of us to figure out and to navigate together. Do some reflection. How has the Lord worked in your life up to this point? And what is he doing in your life, and what is he calling you to do next? What is next for you personally? How will the Lord shape you in this new season? And how will you experience his truth and bring his love to those around you, and especially those in our mountain community? This whole process for me, starting off in Twin Peaks when I was a young child, coming back now to Twin Peaks when I'm almost 40 years old, which, by the way, can anybody guess my favorite cartoon when I was 6 and 7 years old and under? It's Ninja Turtles. That's why we're doing it. You remember that, right? That's why we're doing a little ninja fruit. Everything I do is with intention and purpose. This whole journey for me has really been incredible. And our last couple of years have just been incredibly sweet with this church. And we really look forward to continuing on, that no matter what the Lord has in the future for us at this church or somewhere else, continuing to just partner in the work of Jesus, because Jesus is amazing. He is awesome. He's beautiful. And he will pull you out of the darkness. Believe in him. Trust in him. Follow him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, you are good. You are so good to all of us. Not one of us deserves to be sitting in the place that we are sitting today. I pray that today hearts were stirred, minds were sharpened, thoughts were provoked. Your spirit, Lord, was felt. And as we go forward as a church, and we have a lot of conversations about who Twin Peaks Community Church can be for those in our community, may we always remember, Lord, that whatever we do and the work that we are about, that it's always going to be about proclaiming your name and lifting it above all things else, knowing that there's a spiritual battle out there, that the enemy is very real. He wants to consume all of us. He wants to rob us of the joy and the love and the beauty of what life could be as we live in you and you live in us, Lord. Guide us today. Be with us. And praise to your name, Jesus. Amen.